staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today is a question. Why do we celebrate Christmas? What is Christmas about? Is Christmas all about just having a day or two off? Is Christmas all about having more food than we ought to have eaten in one day? Do we celebrate Christmas because we get to watch football games, of which I could care less for, but that's just me? Do we celebrate Christmas just getting and receiving gifts? What's the purpose? Why do we celebrate Christmas? I say that we celebrate Christmas because, according to the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the unspeakable gift. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable, that's undescribable, indescribable gift. That's the gift that God's given us. The gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, go over the question to comment, please.
Hi, gentlemen. My thought on Christmas is that we were given a Savior and that He died on a tree. I mean, on, you know, that His blood was shed for us. And that was even a curse. And it shows me every time I look at my tree, the beauty of the blood that was shed. And also, too, to be thankful that I serve a God that loved me so much that His Son was on the cross and that He didn't spare no cost that my soul could be saved today. So to me, the love of Christ is shown on that tree. I thank God that He went through all that He went through. And the lights to me just beautify. It just overtakes. It gives me a peace.
Amen.
Of knowing that when I leave from here, I was given the best gift of all, and that was the Savior.
Amen.
And that if anybody has not or given their life to Christ, I really pity them because they don't know what it is for having a Savior.
Terry, what you're saying, and I'll repeat and summarize, what you're saying is the greatest gift the world has ever received is the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Had Jesus Christ never come, had Jesus Christ never been born, that would be an impossibility today. The world would still be in darkness. And so I side with you. as my wife has so aptly said, she says, put in all the lights you can. Make all of the, I use the term glitz and the glitter, with all the lights that you can, because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And that's just showing unspeakable joy that we have in knowing that Jesus Christ came into the world. And the purpose for coming into the world, as Brother Ken said a moment ago so eloquently, is for the salvation of mankind, as our redemption on the cross when Jesus Christ died. And when you, I think about the Christmas tree, goes back to, some use the term that Jesus died on the tree. Well, it was, the cross was made out of a tree, but nevertheless, that tree is there. Not that we worship the tree, not that we look at the, and when you look at the Jeremiah text, where so many people go back to, in Jeremiah, the I believe it's the 10th chapter in verses 3, 4, and following, many times people go to that and say that, you know, I'm not going to put a tree in my house because it's an idol. No, we're not going to worship the tree, but it is symbolic of that joy and that great celebration and the realization that Jesus Christ is born. He's come into the world. So, Terry, thank you so much for your call and for your testimony. Continue to serve the Lord and praise Him, especially, especially in this wonderful Christmas season. Thank you and God bless you. I believe we have Bernice on the line. Bernice, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to make a comment that for most people like myself who grew up in a non-Christian home we were Christian, but we weren't walking with Christ. We were fans, but not followers. Mm-hmm. And our main focus for Christmas, of course, was Santa Claus. That was everything about Christmas had to do with Santa Claus. And so then when I got saved and I realized that really Christmas is about what you're talking about, I started digging really deep into everything about Christmas. And I'm one of those people you're talking about that doesn't want the Christmas tree in my house. I don't want all that festive stuff because I've associated it with bad stuff through studies. So you talking about it in the light you are now really gives me a positive feeling to decorate and enjoy Christmas without bringing in the pagan things of Christmas and focusing just on Christ and the gift of the Son.
Absolutely. In fact, let's just do a little parallelism here, Bernice, if you would allow me to do so. A person can have a Corvette parked out in the garage, and that can become an idol that he worships. But the car is made to drive, made to use, made to be serviceable for the benefit and the need of the human being. It depends on how you treat something. You can have a child, a parent can have a child and worships that child can become an idol. The home that the person lives in can become an idol. But we're not doing it for that purpose. The purpose is to focus on the joy unspeakable that a Savior's born. And that's the first announcement that was given to the shepherds in the field when they were watching their flock by night, the scripture says. And one of the things, time the shepherds heard the good news that Jesus Christ had come into the world, the very first thing they did, they wanted to go and tell others. Because the scripture says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which was come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The major thing they wanted to do then following that was to go and tell. And that's exactly what they did. And that's what we're saying with the Christmas lights, the Christmas tree, the giving and the receiving of gifts. We're saying Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that's ever been given to humanity. And I want to give and exchange gifts in view of what Christ has done for me. So, Bernice, I'm thankful for your call, for your testimony. And it is our prayer that you and others listening will have a merry, blessed Christmas. Thank you so much for calling. I believe we have Woody on the line. Woody, go over the question or comment, please.
Well, Doc, thank you for taking my call. I'm so delighted you're doing this program today. I had no intention of calling in, truthfully, but my calling in has just been blossomed in my heart in gratitude because of the comment that Bernice just made. She said, well, I sort of believe that in the past there's too much pagan stuff or whatever. Listen, the name of Jesus Christ is powerful.
Amen.
And because the name of Jesus Christ was superimposed on pagan holidays in the past by old missionaries to get the pagans to be able to relate to the faith. Oh, there's some stain, I guess, from the past pagan worship that was done of trees and other things. But the name of Jesus Christ and the reality of his birth and his death and his resurrection is so powerful that it overshadows all that pagan nonsense. And my Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 12 that you judge a tree by the fruit. And the Christian Christmas tree and the Christmas celebration that was developed in particularly in America after the tradition in England, but the wonderful time of celebration, whether a person is pagan or not, still extols the blessed name of Jesus Christ, Amen. His humble birth, and what he has done, and the joy of this Christmas season, this wonderful joy that everybody knows, is nothing more than testimony to the power of the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the name of Christ is a strong tower.
Amen.
And the righteous run to it and are safe. And God bless all those out there who have come to the understanding that the Christmas season we have in America is a wonderful, wonderful gift, and we have it just because the power of the name.
Amen.
Thank you for doing the program. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your calling. God bless you. That encourages me more than you'll ever know. Thank you for your words. God bless you. Brother Ken, I'll toss the ball to you. What say you, based on what we've heard from our callers today, there are those that will spend time shopping, sightseeing, socializing, but spend very, very little time this Christmas season with the Savior. What say you?
And I know that that's certainly a temptation, that because the world secularized and made this holiday its own thing, that it distracts Christians. But again, I go back to this. This is a way of life for me and my family, to think about Christ, his coming, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, praying, coming to church, going to Sunday school, listening to sermons. It's a way of life, and it's a daily thing. So honestly, I don't skip a beat on Christmas Day or another day. It's all about Jesus Christ. And why is that? And it goes back to my salvation.
Amen.
When I got born again almost 43 years ago. I wasn't looking for a Savior. I was a young man, troubled off into many sinful behaviors and lifestyle, and in New Hampshire, out in the boonies, not another Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church within 100 miles, I got invited to a Wednesday night service.
Amen.
And I got asked this question. It's a question that I want to ask our listeners today. Are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven?
Amen.
If you were to die?
Right.
And I raised my hand. I wasn't sure. And first thing I knew, I was halfway down that aisle. And I took the pastor's hand. I went in his office. And he showed me what was called the Romans Road. Mm-hmm. And didn't know I was looking for a Savior.
That's right.
Didn't know a lot about. But I came under conviction of my sin. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And from that moment on, I had this miraculous transformation from the inside out.
Amen.
Where I knew immediately, this is the answer for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs to be born again. And all those things that I used to chase after and try to satisfy and bring contentment and joy and satisfaction, none of them achieved it. But just this one little 15 minutes I spent hearing the gospel, receiving Jesus Christ, I was content, overflowing with joy. And my parents saw, everybody saw an immediate change in me. And that's what I go back to with Christmas.
In other words, you have Christmas celebration every day of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the way life should be, where we recognize, listen, for those that do not know Christ as Savior, and they celebrate Christmas with what we call the secularized community and land that we live in today, they don't realize what they do not have. somehow, somewhere, there's a mindset that I've got plenty of food, I've got clothes to wear, I've car. Listen, the breath you breathe, the heartbeat that you have, the food that you eat, the automobile that you drive, regardless of what kind, the home you live in, is all a benevolent gift from a benevolent benefactor. His name is God, and the first great gift that God has given to humanity is the gift of His Son to come and to live and to die on Calvary's cross, shed His rich red royal blood for sinners such as I, to save us from our sin. You quoted earlier a text that is found in Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter, the 10th verse, right column, the last verse on that column in my Bible. And he's come to, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And as you so articulated a moment ago, you didn't even realize you needed a Savior until conviction in your heart and you said yes to Jesus. That's the prayer. That's the desire. That's what I want to see take place in the hearts and the lives of multitudes that's listening, tuned into this broadcast today. But the question that I want to ask our listeners, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. How are you celebrating Christmas? What are you doing this Christmas? Do you know the Christ of Christmas, the Savior that's come into the world, that the angels told the shepherds in the field watching their flock by night when Jesus was born? It's good news. It is great joy to all people. And that doesn't mean just a select few. It's not, Jesus didn't come into the world to die for a select elect few, but to whosoever will may come, the Scripture says, as I understand it. But ladies and gentlemen, there are excuses after excuses after excuses. Let me go back to that for just a moment. Some will say that Christmas, the Christmas tradition, is barred from the pagan rituals and rites, and deny the celebration of Christmas indicates a return to paganism. There's some that believe that today, Brother Ken. I'm amazed that in an enlightened society called the United States of America, there's still some that say, well, I'm not going to put a Christmas tree up. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to celebrate Christmas. That's celebrating a pagan holiday. How do we encounter or confront or respond to that kind of statement?
So I was thinking back to growing up. What my family did, and we were not a church-going family. We were not a religious family. But we didn't worship idols either. It was an opportunity for my mother to decorate the house and create this warm environment in celebration, really, of family and tradition of getting together, having a meal, seeing relatives that we hadn't seen, you know, over the years. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I look at it now. We don't do a lot of decorating, but my wife enjoys it. Just like she's constantly decorating the house with art and furniture and pillows and bedspreads and drapes. I don't look at any of those as an idol or anything else. It's a seasonal thing. And as a born-again Christian, me knowing the meaning of the incarnation, mm-hmm, and it being a blessing. And here's the thing. You set aside a holiday where people have time off, a lot of time on their hands. It's a blessing because you know why? Everybody's hearing the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And who knows, the Spirit of God can move and change and attract and draw somebody to Christ. But on the other hand, it's a curse if whoever rejects those quiet times when God is pulling at the strings to open their Bible, to read their Bible, to go to church, and they push those away, this holiday that comes every year, and maybe they'll live to be 70 or 80 or 90 years old. They've had the opportunity and they've heard the name of Jesus. And that's one reason that it says that in Jesus Christ, when he comes back, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first group he's coming that know not God, they didn't have the interest or take the time to get to know who God was based on his revelation.
That's right.
And then once they did find out in God's revelation, the Bible, the invitation, and we are commanded to believe in Jesus Christ. When they ignore that commandment, they chose not to obey the gospel. Unfortunately, after these many, many decades of giving people opportunity, even a special set-aside day to celebrate Jesus Christ, It's a blessing and a curse. Amen. Because one day, the love, the grace, the mercy, the invitations will be cut off.
That's right.
And the wrath, a white hot wrath and flaming fire. God gave his son, and he endured an unbelievable amount of pain and suffering to pay the sin debt.
Absolutely.
And when we ignore that and don't take enough interest in God to read our Bibles and go to church, and then not to obey the gospel, one day God's love, grace, and mercy that we celebrate will end in an eternal tragedy.
Absolutely. Just like when the ark was built and all went into the ark and God shut the door. And one day the door is going to be shut for an opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I believe we have Mary on the line. Mary, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi. Good afternoon to you both. I just called to say thank you for the program because I was kind of in the mindset of Bernice that called earlier. And not too many years ago, someone pointed out Jeremiah 10:4 to me and said, shouldn't have Christmas trees in your house and that sort of thing. So I appreciate this program. I just wanted to make that comment. I listen to you guys every day. Thank you.
Well, Mary, I'm thankful for you and thankful for your comment. And by the way, just as a little parenthetical footnote of the Jeremiah 10 text, that's dealing with carving out of wood, stone, and other materials to make an idol. That's not the purpose. It's the motive. It's the purpose. And just because we put a Christmas tree in the home and decorate it, my position is that we're not worshiping that tree. We're worshiping the one that gave us life, eternal life. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate, God come into flesh. Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. He came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And everything that we do in the decoration, everything that we do in the gift giving, everything that we do in the lighting, et cetera, should glorify and honor and point to the joy to the world that a Savior's come. So, Mary, thank you so much for your calling. God bless you, and may you have a merry, blessed Christmas. Brother Ken, as we think about the fact of celebrating Christmas and what we should do, I find it, I don't know how to put it, antithetical to the joy that is to be celebrated in Christ's coming for so many different excuses. Read one article where the individual said that it's just too secularized. I'm not going to help embellish or encourage or to give more. Billions of dollars are spent on gifts every year, and I'm just not going to get into that race of trying to buy gifts, et cetera, et cetera. It's a mindset somehow that, I don't know, you'd call it a cop-out, just unwilling to recognize. And may I say this, ladies and gentlemen, I believe many times that argument, that excuse is found at the heart and the life of an individual that's not rejoicing and joy unspeakable for the gift that God's given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe I have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. I am in the company of your guest speaker today that we never turn off Jesus. He is with us all the time. And we celebrate like Christmas as well. And the paganism comes from Satan Claus. You know, it's Satan Claus that is the lie. It's not him that knows when we're sleeping. It's not him that knows when we've been bad or good. It is Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lisa, may I take the privilege, since you just opened that door wide open for me to dialogue about it. There are a number of folks today, and may I say this, and moms and dads, if you're listening, you don't have to be angry about it. But I find it antithetical to the unspeakable joy of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ for it to be for families, for parents, to point to Santa Claus. And so Santa Claus gave you this gift. Santa Claus came last night. And by the time a child grows to be 8, 10, 12, 15 years old, realize Santa Claus is a lie, he's going to question everything else mom and dad says about Jesus, about the church, about the Bible, and believe, is that also
Amen.
Mythology? Is that a lie also? I believe we need to Amen. Tell our kids, Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. Jesus Christ is the one that provided the funds for mom and dad to buy the gifts for you. It's Jesus Christ that represents the gifts hanging on that tree, that he gave us the greatest gift, and that's eternal life. I believe that's the focus that we ought to have, even celebrating this Christmas season. So, Lisa,
Amen. It's
so
an easy fix. Everywhere absolutely. Santa is, put Jesus.
Amen. I agree with that. Lisa, thank you so much, and God bless you, and may you have a merry, blessed Christmas this Christmas season. Brother Ken, we've got a few minutes left on the broadcast. Jump in with that.
Yeah, I did mention at the beginning that there's catastrophic implications for the sinner. Mm-hmm. If you don't come to Jesus Christ, you'll end up in an eternal judgment, a place called the Lake of Fire.
Right.
There are also catastrophic implications to the saint. And very quickly, I'd like to share kind of what I meant by that. We read in Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So tied into this incarnation of Christ is a critical initial doctrine that is to be laid as the foundation in which all the subsequent learning of doctrines and growth in grace is to be based upon. And my fear is that the modern church has lost that there is a proper sequence in which doctrinal learning is to occur.
That's right.
So what is this faith in God that's talked about? Very quickly, I can't go into all my references, but it's the faith that God intended when we believe that he accomplished his promise given in the Garden of Eden, subsequently to Abraham, David, and others in sending Jesus Christ to grant pardon and remission of sins by him. And that great promise of God took 4,000 years to accomplish.
Yes.
And God communicating to us the first doctrine, repentance from dead works, leave your sins. You've become a born-again Christian. Quit sinning. Change your mind about sin. Replace your sin with pursuit of God. But secondly, remember that an all-powerful, promise-keeping God took 4,000 years to fulfill bringing into the world his son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine the power in the life of a believer that forsook his sin and believed in this promise-keeping God that took 4,000 years to show his veracity to keep his word and his promise, despite all the discouragements, all the rage of Satan, all the defeats in those 4,000 years? It looked impossible.
That's right.
It allows us to walk by faith in this promise-keeping God.
Amen. This is the reason I go back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but let me just give you a little closing narrative. As we celebrate Christmas in our home, we have our family, our four sons, one's in heaven now. We have our sons, their wives, our daughters in love. We have 10 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, and we get together, and the first thing we want to do after sitting down around the Christmas tree is to open the Bible and to share the Christmas story and have our grandkids in, as they were growing up, to read the scripture and tell us about what Christmas is about, and it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. May you have a blessed season called Christmas, and look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7, The Truth.